Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Well, I'm just going back through the archive on our DMs to find out what people were saying about my getting busted by Kit sex story, and it's gone down a storm.
I actually think, right, you've probably got a lot of people out of trouble as well, because now, I mean, I've taken something away from it. Now,
what's
if that?
That
ever happens to me, I will know straight away what my excuse is. Is that, oh, I'm just being stretched. Daddy's just stretching me. And that will clear it all up.
It's all fine until the child then asks if they can stretch you out. And then it sort of, it makes you feel even more icky.
Yeah, or in PE, they put their hand up and say, I've learned some really good stretches from my mum and dad. Can I demonstrate?
Jesus Christ. I spat my coffee out laughing at Zoe's weekend bedroom activity, laughing on my lunchtime walk today. What's daddy doing to you? Ha ha ha. And someone else sent me a direct message going, I feel so sad, which is what Kit was saying to me on repeat.
So you've
enjoyed it, guys. And as a
you
result
have.
Of this, we are now doing a follow-up Q&A today around sex.
Yes. Brilliant. And all funds raised through this episode will go directly to Kit's therapist when he's 18. Maybe not 18, 14. I'm joking. It's fine. He's forgotten about it. And we are, yeah, we're going to do a little bit of a follow-up now. And I guess we've done one before, haven't we? Like a little sex Q&A. I think it's something that, well, from the questions, it's pretty much, a running theme throughout that as parents, we, like a lot of other stuff in our lives, we put it to the bottom of the pile and we don't know how to get it back to the top of the pile or somewhere at the top.
Yeah. And also, I think it's important to say here that's a very funny story and is you know, an isolated incident. But, you know, I am not swinging from the chandeliers, you know, with my crotchless panties on, screaming to have a dildo shoved where the sun don't shine. Like, that's not happening. It's not, you know, we are just like every other parent out there that we're knackered and
yeah.
We probably put it down the list, probably too far down the list. And actually it is very important, but it does come in lots of different guises. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure around it. And I think when the pressure builds and the communication stops, that's when you start to have issues within, you know, the relationship.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know what? I was actually reading an article in Red magazine. It's my like little luxury. I get
sent
to me every month. And there was an article about sex in a relationship. And it was really well put. It was basically like talking about people, different scenarios and all of that kind of stuff. And they're basically saying that after, I can't remember what it is, I think it is even like 18 months in a relationship. It might even be less than that. It's not like an instinct anymore. It has to be like, there's different factors that come into it. And they're basically talking about like, you know, sometimes it's like your surroundings. And it might be that some people cannot have sex if there's like washing pile on the side or they cannot do it when the kids are in the house or they cannot. And there's all of these different things. And it was really interesting just like reading, you know, and just kind of normalizing that there are lots of different trivial factors that you might not even realize are not letting yourself have the headspace to like to have that intimacy. But also, like, probably if you listen to this podcast, we all go through patches as well, like where you think you've got it sussed and it's back.
100%.
And then it's not again. So
and also I think sex comes in so many different forms. I mean, we spoke about this with Jenny on Tuesday's podcast, where, you know, do you consider kissing to be sex? Is that part of your foreplay? Because I sometimes think, oh, I really, really don't want to have sex today.
Yes,
and then I think, well, actually, it's been, you know, a bit of distance since the last time we were intimate. I think once we get going and we start, you know, really feeling each other, I'll start to enjoy the process. But the thought of it, sometimes you're like, oh God, really? At the end of a really long day. I sometimes find if it's just in the bedroom, I also find that a bit of a turn off because I know what's coming.
Yeah,
you know, we've been
exactly
together for 9 years. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and you've been together for so much longer than that. So it's like, how can you mix things up? And how can you, going back to that thing about pressure, how can you take the pressure off so that kissing doesn't always have to lead to sex? Sometimes
that
it's just really nice to have a cuddle and a kiss.
Yes, absolutely. Do you know what? There's nothing that winds me up more sometimes. In fact, this morning, wound me up so much. So we woke up and, like, I've kind of shared this recently. Our kids are waking up so late at the moment, and it's lovely in one way, but also it means the morning is, like, really stressy. So I was laying in bed and I'd been awake for a while, but I was just sort of thinking, oh no, do you know what? I'm just going to lay here rather
what
than go downstairs, like 6:30. I was like, I'm just going to lay here for a bit, like, and just lay here, not go downstairs and start
nothing.
The day.
Yeah.
And anyway, so, like, James woke up, and so I, like, sort of leant on him for a cuddle. And for him, that was like, boom, we're going to have morning sex. And I was thinking, No, I am literally just leaning on you for a little
cuddle
before we get up. But, like, oh, how nice is this? Like, we've got 5 minutes before we go and start all the rushing around. How lovely. We can just have a cuddle. And he straight away is like, woohoo. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And now that will put me off doing that again.
I have to say to Dozer, I really want to have a cuddle now and I really want to be intimate with you, but is it okay if we don't have sex? And he says, oh my God, of course it's okay. And I feel like I'm not asking permission, but that's me. That's my way of saying, this is where I am. This is the space that I'm in. Whereas before, I didn't really have the courage, or I didn't feel like that was going to be held. I thought at that point he might be fucked off thinking, oh God, well, you know, I want to. And, you know, when you're the gatekeeper, so for example, Dozer would want to have sex every day. No joke. If we were having sex every day, he'd be like, yeah, great. You know, we have sex every day. That's normal, right? So I'm the gatekeeper. I hold the keys to that because I have to go, look, every day, are you absolutely bonkers? You know, and it's not a number a week, but can we just scrap that and can we feel it together? So it's not just you feeling it. I have to feel it too. So we've been through these big discussions around it. And like you said earlier on, it ebbs and flows. But I feel now I have the space and I know it's going to be received well for me to turn around to him and say, look, I really want to be connected to you and I really want to feel intimate and I want to, you know, do some skin on skin stuff, but it's not going to lead to penetrative sex. It's just not.
It's not on the cards today. And also it sounds silly. I know I'm like such a stickler for time, but sometimes there isn't time and that annoys me as well. Cause I think, like, this is not the time. Like, what part of this moment here, we've got to be up in 5 minutes. Why would you start this?
Because it doesn't, you can do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. But
not,
you know,
maybe maybe it's more for him.
Maybe for him, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. And I just think, oh, anyway, it annoys me, but I probably definitely need to take a leaf out of your book and just say.
Have the chat.
Have the chat.
Claudia sent a message saying, do we have to do it? With loads of laughing faces.
Of course you don't
if you don't want to.
No, of course you don't.
But I'm not sure if that is a connected or physical relationship if you don't, if I'm being completely honest.
I think if both people are on the same page, like, I don't know. I don't know a couple. I've heard a couple talking before on a podcast. They're a lot older. They may be in their 60s, maybe 70s, and they just don't want to anymore. And I'm like, oh, right, okay. If they're both happy, fine. And I think that's up to you, isn't it? If you're both happy, then yeah, cool, why not? But it's not like I don't think that is, like, I'd say normal.
I think she's joking.
Yeah, of course she's joking. Of course she is.
Yeah, it goes back to that. It goes back to that communication thing. Like, it's interesting that we are able to have conversations about pretty much everything else, but when it comes to our physical relationship, we find it very, very hard to say what we want, to say what we need, to say what we desire, to say what turns us on, what turns us off. Like, we find that conversation really awkward. And I find that if we go for, you know, probably, well, I don't want to say a period of time because then you could sort of compare, but if we go for a long period of time for us, I definitely feel a disconnect.
Yeah.
And then I start to feel, you know, when we connect physically, it heals a lot. And
yeah,
it brings
it's a
us
reset.
Closer together.
That's, I think it is a reset. Yeah, and I think there's like a lot of frustration, especially when you've got young children. I think there's always a lot of frustration and a lot of like, aggy sort of ness.
Yeah, micro resentment.
Yeah, that you have to do. I do think it resets everything. There's quite a lot of questions here about how do you get your libido back post kids? How to get it back to being regular? I've got a 3-year-old that isn't a great sleeper. You know, basically this whole thing of busy lives, big change becoming a parent. How do you get it back?
Yeah. So I love this question. So thank you so much for sending these ones in, because it's, for me, it all starts with being able to separate your parenting life from your relationship life. And we hear this, you know, I'm sure you've read about this and we hear it on podcasts and stuff, but being able to put your children down and just remember that you are in a relationship with somebody and your needs need cherishing is really essential. If you are constantly, and I know it's really hard, especially if you've got a child that doesn't sleep very well, you're exhausted, but sex doesn't mean wham bam thank you ma'am. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to mean penetrative, you know, sex. It just doesn't. It can mean so many other things. For me, it starts from intimacy. So how, like, the first question is like, how do you get your intimacy back?
Yes.
You know, libido will come when you feel heart connected to your partner. Mm-hmm. That libido and that desire to be physical with that person will come back.
Yeah,
and it's little things like, you know, running yourself a bath, making sure that you feel good. And, you know, I used to say this to you, right? Going upstairs and having a shower and like resetting from the day, wash the day away.
Yeah.
Someone else sent us a message the other day saying that before they do anything, before they go, they put the kids to bed, before they do anything else, they have sex because, or they have some time together, because it's like once you start getting into all the other things that you have to do downstairs, it then drops down the list. But really, like, having that beautiful conversation with the person and saying to them, look, I'm freaked out. My libido is gone, but I love you and I desire you and I want to get it back. And can we try together? That is a really big conversation, but that is absolutely necessary.
I was going to say, I think it's this whole thing of pressure. Like, it's in so, like, in it, all aspects of life, pressure is never like, sometimes it's positive, but not in many circumstances. Is it a positive thing? And is it very helpful?
Not.
Like, someone else here has put, my husband is pressuring me for sex at least 1 to 2 times a week and my baby is 5 months old, help. And I think, again, like, the key word in there is literally pressure. You need to take the pressure off, but so both of you understand why you're doing it and that it's coming from a good place. It's not like you're just allowing yourself to think, oh no, if I don't want to have sex, I'm not going to, without communicating it. I think that's where it can break down, is that you could say to your husband, listen, I feel really pressured to have sex with you, like, you know, however many times a week. I don't feel
at
like that at this point, but what I want to do, like you said, is I want to work on it. I want it to get better. Can we take the pressure off and do this and you know, and basically commit to one night a week, we sit on the sofa and we have some time for each other and then see where that leads to, rather than having a number of times a week you want to have sex.
I know.
I hate it.
How many times do you have sex a week? It's like, well, it doesn't, it's completely irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. I think with regards to that question, because, you know, that it's an awful place to be when you literally feel like you're sort of darting from room to room to get away from that person because they're on a completely different wavelength to you. And the problem is that he's probably looking, that is his way of validating himself.
Yeah.
So men carry a lot of their validation in sex, right? Yeah. We know that. Yeah. And so he will be feeling rejected currently, probably thinking she doesn't fancy me, she doesn't want me, and it starts to spiral. So if you're not communicating that with your partner and you're not saying to him, I love you, but I'm 5 months after postpartum and my body doesn't feel the same, however you're feeling inside, write it down and tell your husband and explain to him, I adore you, I fancy you, but this is where I'm at this stage. And for us to get that back, it's going to have to look like X, Y, and Z. And the first one is, as we all know, because we've been single before, the minute somebody treats you like they're not interested, you want them. Like the minute Dozza turns off and says, oh yeah, actually, do you know what? I'm fine with us not having sex. I think, oh, it doesn't look me, huh? I think like that's, you know, it's like when it's always there and someone's trying to have sex with you all the time, it's a bit icky.
Yeah,
so if you just say to him, you know, all of these things are going on and you maybe write them down if it's easier for you to communicate that way and just explain it to him really gently so he doesn't feel rejected, that would be a good starting point. And by the way, I'm not making it about your husband at all.
Solid advice.
Thanks. Body confidence is zero post-baby. I feel so ugly. How to move forward? Oh, I want to give this person the biggest hug.
I know, me too.
I hate that. You're not ugly. You are so beautiful and you've had a baby, so give yourself a break.
Exactly. No, absolutely. And I think, gosh, I reckon probably nearly everybody listening to this, whether you've had a baby or not, or carried a baby or not, will, you know, will be able to relate to this. And I think everybody goes through this. And we've spoken a lot about body confidence, haven't we, on this podcast? And we've spoken about, you know, how you fix your confidence in your mind, because ultimately it is how you feel, isn't it? And rather than how you look. But I think it's about working out and spending time and allowing yourself to have time to work on it, like whatever that means to you. Like for me, if I want to feel more body confident, it is about moving my body more. It's actually not, you know, I might switch my diet, but it's more, I know that it makes me feel better when I move my body more and I train more. Whether that makes a difference on the way it looks or not, I've got no idea, because I always just feel so much better when I'm regularly, even just walking more, just moving more, not sitting down. But whatever that is to you, like it might not be anything to do with that. It might be that, you know, to get your body confidence back, you want to go, I don't know, just spend more time on self-care, like have a lovely bath and put lovely creams on it. Whatever it is, I think you just need to allow yourself to have time and really accept that you want to work on
this
it.
This is where you are.
Yeah, this is where you are, and allow yourself the time without feeling guilty that it's important to you to feel your best.
And also I want you, this person, because you know who you are, I want you to wake up in the morning, look in front of the mirror and quietly say to yourself, I am beautiful. I am enough. I'm amazing. I'm an incredible friend. I'm a wonderful mother. And just start speaking much, much kinder to yourself. Please, please stop saying all that horrible, you know, all those horrible words to yourself. Because it's, if you're saying it, you're thinking it, you're feeling it, you can't bring yourself out of that. So it has to start first thing in the morning, where you really are nourishing yourself with kindness, firstly. And then I think secondly, like Georgia said, body confidence, you know, it's all well and good us sitting there going like, yeah, say this and say that and feel this and self-care and like it's all right. But actually, this is where you are in your life. And we've all been there. Like we have, I've stood in front of the mirror and I've got one wonky boob that's dropped and I fucking hate it. And I'm like, I'm still not okay with it. And that's why I'm thinking about getting a boob job. And I sometimes look at my vagina and think, well, it never used to look like that. yeah. It used to look much tighter and smaller, and what's going on with it? You know, like, we all look at our body and don't like the parts of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
But I think if you're keeping it a secret and you're not sharing it and you're having to take the pain alone,
yeah.
this is when you're going to feel very isolated, and you're going to wear your baggy clothes and hide away in the corner and not want to be intimate. Like, of course you're not. But yeah. if you explain it and talk about it and share it and let somebody hold it and be really vulnerable, which is really scary, that is the way that you will heal. And yeah. it's not going to be, you're not going to feel like this forever.
No, exactly. And also, I don't think that it's sort of one, it's not like a cure. Like, there is no cure to always feeling body confident. It's something you have to work on, like, just all the time. And it's like a mind shift, isn't it? That whole, I haven't got it right yet, I don't think.
it's a difficult one.
It's a difficult one. We'll be right back after this short break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
This is a good one.
Yeah.
How to have a G-spot orgasm. I've never had one.
Neither have I. That's what I was going to say.
Well, you've never had one?
Not a G-spot orgasm, no. I've never had one. No, I don't think so.
Wow.
No. I've only ever had a clitoral orgasm, not a G-spot orgasm.
So does that happen post-coitus for you? Or does that happen during?
What do you mean?
Well, as in, like, if you think that you haven't had a G-spot orgasm and you've only had a clitoral one, is that something that you can do when you're having sex, or does this have to happen afterwards?
No, it can be when I'm having sex. Yeah, no.
Right.
It can be, yeah. But
okay,
I think it's. I don't know, but I think they're two separate things, right?
100% they are.
Yeah.
So basically, the G-spot is tucked really, really far in and up, like a ledge. So if you have if you put two fingers together and you, like, it's like you're inserting them, and then you bend your fingers up and then you go up and round, the G-spot is basically hidden up and round in the majority of women, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually really fucking hard for a penis to get there.
Yeah.
Unless you've got, unless you've got a wonky willy, which is totally fine. So it's actually quite hard to find it. So my advice would be, now it doesn't happen for me during sex, it happens afterwards, but it involves a vibrator and fingers that are then like bent and curved upwards. So I would give that a go. It's quite a thing. We've perfected it over the years, but if you're struggling to have a G-spot orgasm, that is the advice that I can give you. But you have to be you have to direct your partner as to where they're going, and they will not know. So yeah, and then it's just pressure applied to it. I mean,
we
should do a masterclass on this.
There we go. Don't join Jenny Keane's sex workshop. Join Zoe Hardman's.
Guys, I'm here, okay, and I'm cheap.
She's here. Right? I think I'm going to ask this one
expensive.
As well. Then where are we? Sex toy and vibrator recommendations. A couple of people have asked this. Like, I really want to buy one, but I don't know where to begin. The choice is endless.
Yeah, and some of them are so expensive.
That, do you know what? That is so true, aren't they? Those Leo, is that what it is? They're hundreds of pounds. They are. Like, that is a lot. But I mean, you know, I'm sure they're worth it.
I think, like, cost per wear as well, you've got to think about that. I always think about that. I'm like, you know, if you're using it a lot, then yeah, you're going to get your money's worth.
I tell you what else I think about. I wouldn't really be buying like a cheap one on Amazon, because it's an electrical.
I know.
What are you worried about?
Like, like being electrocuted or it blowing up. Or
might give you the best climax of your life.
But also, like, you'd have a completely burnt vagina. I don't really know if that's worth it. So if we're talking about cost, I would definitely go to somewhere reputable and don't buy. It's true, though. Like, seriously.
That's hysterical. You're really making
me laugh.
There's
so many things that you wouldn't buy, like, cheap. So I don't know why you'd buy a sex toy that you use on your body. Like, you just wouldn't. Why would you buy a cheap one? No, don't do that.
And also, you want to be really careful with things like, obviously, the material that they're made out of, because, mm-hmm. you know, that can cause a whole heap of issues if it's not, you know, if it's not good quality products. So
yes.
I love a Lilo. I think they're amazing. You know, I think they do everything they say on the tin, but they are kind of £200 for certain toys. So they are an investment, but they will last. I mean, I've had mine for like 5 or 6, maybe more. Maybe like 8 years or something, and it's still going strong.
Wow, there we go. There's good websites like Love Honey. That's a reputable website, and they have like all different price points on there.
Yes.
So do you know they do them on Boots? You can buy them on delivery via Boots now.
Well, so things get really heated really quickly.
That's what I was going to say. You can literally get them like in 10 minutes.
Like, we've obviously got our sex briefcase, which we don't bring out that much anymore, if I'm honest with you. But there's a whole heap of stuff in there. But the little Doz of recently, obviously, we had that black butt plug incident, which was hysterical. But he also bought some like wrist sort of harness things. And they're like quite kind of me. They're not, you know, I'm not talking like being harnessed up to the wall, but they're kind of interesting because they sort of add something, but your hands can be just tied together over your head, which is quite interesting. Now, I would consider that to be a sex toy because,
it is.
Sure. It's fun and it mixes it up a bit, but you're not, you know, you're still free to kind of move around and do your thing. But it just depends on what you want. Like, I've got to be honest, I don't really, I think sex toys that are used internally, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
That's not my thing at all. But you just need to figure it out. It's a bit suck 'em and see, excuse the pun.
There we go.
So someone says here, how often are long-term couples having sex? I know there's no norm or just intrigued. He's just not that into me. How can I bring it up without making it a thing?
Well, I think there's two completely separate questions there. And I think, how often are long-term couples having sex? I think we said before, like, you might talk to, you know, your friend 1 week and they're having sex 3 or 4 times a week. And then you might talk to her 3 months like down the line, and she might say, oh, actually, it's not happening very much at the moment. And I think that's why I don't know how helpful it is. When you start putting numbers on it. Again, I think it adds to pressure. I do think, like, if my friend came to me and said, we haven't slept together for, like, I don't know, a few months or 6 months or something, unless they just had a baby or, you know, whatever, that kind of thing, I would be like, oh, that sounds like a lot. But
Yeah, but it's just, you know what, Louise Boyce, Mama Still Got It, she did a poll on her Instagram, and I think the average was once every 3 months.
Yeah.
That's what she took. But again, I think compare and contrasting, there'll be people listening to this going, once every 3 months, well, we haven't had sex for a year. Or there'll be people listening going, wow, that seems like a long time. So again, Georgia's totally right. I think comparing and contrasting isn't right. You have to find your pattern. And I think there's just way too much talk around how many times people have sex a week.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I'm not being funny, there could be people who are having sex 5 times a week and actually it's not.
Who are those people?
You're not connecting. Well, no, I don't know. I don't know any of them.
They're not parents.
They're not connecting. It's like we just said, like a quickie in the morning. There's no connection or intimacy there. And it's just like just going through the motions. And is that any better than somebody's having sex once a month, but it's amazing and they really connect? Who knows? But that's why I don't think it's putting how often is helpful.
No, I agree.
But to the second part of your question, he's just not that into me. How can I bring it up without making it a thing? I think you have to allow it to be a thing. And I think this is exactly what we've just said. I'm guilty of it probably myself. Like, sometimes with James, I don't communicate it, and then he will probably sort of make something up in his mind. I'm not saying you have made this up in your mind at all, but you're saying he's just not that into me. But it might be a whole host of other things, like loads of other reasons. He's stressed, he's, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And unless you ask and unless you say, you're never going to know, and you're literally just sort of assuming.
It's totally right, George.
I don't know how you can do it. I know what you mean without making it like really serious and like we need to have a chat, but you have got to allow yourself that it is, you know, it is important to you and you don't want to feel like that.
I think telling somebody how you feel is really scary because you think, right, this is me at my most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So I would do it. My advice would be to try and take all of the defense out of it, as in it's not an attack on him. It's not, you know, it's not, oh my God, you're not this or you're not doing that. Or it's like, this is how I'm feeling and I need to share that with you. I feel that, you know, you maybe don't fancy me as much anymore, or that you don't want to be connected to me and I really want to be, and try and have that, because saying that to somebody, they might get really defensive. Yeah. He might. I mean, I know because it's happened. I've been on the other end of it where, you know, I've had someone say that to me and I was like, well, what are you talking about? I'm really into you. And it can blow up and it's, am I not enough? And then they feel that they're not enough. Mm. So it's like, you have to go really, really steady, but please share your truth, because otherwise you're going to have this thing that you can't swallow and you can't say, and it's going to eat you up. And also you deserve to be loved and touched and honored. And if someone's not doing that, you need to figure out why, because you can work at it together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you know what? That is actually so true. And I think a lot of people give up on their relationship when like something like this is going on, because, and they've actually never drilled down and just had the conversation that is totally fixable. Like it's like you can so easily get these things back in your relationship. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, I don't know. And I think that's where things go wrong so often, is that it just builds and builds and builds and no one's actually saying what they're thinking. And they're just assuming what the other one. Exactly. They're just assuming and they're just going about their lives assuming. But yeah, and I know that's easier said than done, but it has to be done.
Talk to your partners. Talk to them and find out what's going on. It's only a positive.
Exactly. So we need to do some products, and I guess we could do sex products. We've spoken about, you know, a few things on there, and actually in some of our past episodes we've recommended like Zoe, your favorite lube. I think, is it called like yes or something like
yes
that
lube. Yeah,
I always remember lube. That but I think from this episode, like, the main takeaway is actually it's not always the sex that needs fixing, it's the other stuff, and it's making yourself feel good so that you're in the right headspace to have sex. So do you want to kick us off? Something that makes you feel good.
So I absolutely love the L'Occitane relaxing massage oil. It's really great. I actually just use it on my legs because I get quite sore legs after training and stuff, but sometimes Dozer gives me a little foot rub with them, and it's to be honest with you, it is quite spenny. It's 32 quid, but it lasts and lasts and lasts. You don't have to use that much. And I just love the brand. The product's, you know, really great. It's got great ingredients in it, all very natural. So yeah, that would be my top product for that.
Love that. You know what? So this is not, it is, yeah, this is linked to making me feel good, because I mentioned before that movement, it's everything for me actually. And I've only just realized But if I'm exercising, it increases my libido, I feel better, I have more energy. But I was getting in a rut of not having time. Like, I'm so much busier with work now, I just don't have time to go to the gym. So I took a leaf out of your book, Zoe, and I bought some weights and some bands and a mat and a slam ball from Networld Sports. They had everything on there and it was all in the sale. I think the sale might even still be running now. And I've just got it in the garage so that I do have an excuse, or I can make all the excuses up, but I don't have an excuse not to do it. And quite often when I've been sat on my desk all day, if I haven't done anything for myself the whole day, the last thing I'm going to want to do is then, you know, be intimate. So I'm finding that if I have carved out even 20 minutes of like doing some weights in the garage every day, then that helps, and I feel so much better. So I think It is, or it could be like doing Pilates or whatever it is, just something that is actually realistic that you're going to do, that's going to make you feel good and allow yourself some time, then yeah, that's helpful. That would be mine.
Yeah, the next thing I want to talk about is just how fantastic the Marks and Spencer's lingerie sets are. I know we've spoken about them before, but not for a while on the podcast.
Yes.
I popped into M&S on Oxford Street the other day, and because it's obviously Valentine's Day coming up, and even though I don't buy into that, I did think some of my knickers, they've got so many holes in them, you know, no wonder I feel a bit shit when I put them on. And just like really good price point, really good for like every body shape, you know, every kind of like different knicker shape as well in there. Some really pretty sets for not that much money. So I would just recommend, if you're feeling a bit rubbish about yourself, go and buy yourself a nice new set. You don't have to spend fortunes, and it does make a difference. Like if you're getting undressed at night and you're seeing a sort of like,
yes,
you know, off kind of white, beigey, holy number that doesn't match, it's like, it doesn't make you feel good.
No, exactly. And again, this is sort of linking into that. It sounds like a really trivial product, but the Beauty Pie, oh God, I can't even think what it's called. It's in the white tub. It's actually the copy of the Laura Mercier body butter, which is also lovely. I put that on after I've had a shower or a bath every night, and it is unbelievable what it does to like my mood and how I feel about my body, rather than, especially, you know, it's winter and your skin gets all dry and scaly. If you put something lovely like that on, it feels, I don't know, just feels like a real treat. And when you get into bed, you just feel lovely. So
yeah, nice.
I would, treat yourself to something like that. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Love that. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Thank you for sending in all of your questions. We've absolutely loved it. As always, you can rate, review, subscribe, and please, please, please give our podcast a follow. Then you won't miss an episode.
Yeah, please do. And any feedback on these Q&As or anything you'd like us to chat about, then drop us a DM on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.